Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Achinama
Maharagi
Tatpatni
Anugata
Anugata
Vanam
Sukumari
Atat Arha
Cha
Yat
Padbyam
Sparshanam
Bhuva
Archanama
Maharagi
Tatpat Yanugatavam
Sukumarya
Tadarhacha Yatpadyam Sparshanam
Bhuva
Archanama
Maharagi
Tatpatnyanugatavanam
Sukarma
yattadarhacha
Yatpadyam
sparshanam bhuva.
Archinama
of the name Archi.
Maharagi,
the queen.
Tatpatni,
the wife of Maharaj Prithu.
Anugata,
who followed her husband.
Vanam,
in the forest.
Sukumari,
very delicate body.
Atat Arha,
who did not deserve.
Cha,
also.
Yat padyam,
by the touch of whose feet,
sparshanam,
touching,
bhuva,
on the earth.
Translation
and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The queen, the wife of Prithu Maharaj, whose name was Archi, followed her husband into the forest. Since she was a queen, her body was very delicate. Although she did not deserve to live in the forest, she voluntarily touched her lotus feet to the ground. Because Prithu Maharaj's wife was the queen and also a daughter of a king, she never experienced walking on the ground, for queens used to never come out of the palace. They certainly never went to the forests and tolerated all the difficulties of living in the wilderness. In Vedic civilization, there are hundreds of similar examples of such renunciation on the part of queens and dedication to the husband. The goddess of the fortune, Mother Sita, followed her husband Ramachandra when he went to the forest. Lord Ramachandra went to the forest in compliance with the order of his father, Maharaj Dasharatha. But Mother Sita was not so ordered. Nonetheless, she voluntarily accepted the path of her husband. Similarly, Gandhari, the wife of King Dhritarashtra, all followed her husband into the forest. Being the wives of great personalities like Prithu, Lord Ramachandra, and Dhritarashtra, these were ideal chaste women. Such queens also instructed the general people by showing them how to become a chaste wife and follow the husband in every stage of life. When the husband is king, she sits beside him as the queen. And when he goes to the forest, she also follows, despite having to tolerate all kinds of difficulties in living in the forest. Therefore, it is said here, Atat Arha, that although she did not want to touch her feet to the ground, she nonetheless accepted all difficulties when she went to the forest with her husband. Vandeham
Shri Guru. Shri Jata Bala Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagra Jata Sahagana Ragana Tamrita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Savaduta Parijana Saita Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhandita Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacce Dishatarine Mukam Koroti Bachalam Pangum Lam Yagate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam.
So we see in the Vedic culture these amazing wives who undergo so many difficulties with no complaints, simply to serve their husbands. This is the ideal standard. Of course, in our modern day society, where are such men that are really being followed like them? We say all these women, they don't follow. They're no good because they don't follow, but what is our qualification to be followed? You understand? But I see in the case of my wife, amazing. Can you imagine a 71-year-old woman circling the globe twice a year? 71-year-old woman. Amazing. My disciples call her Guru Mata, a very suitable word for her, because she's very, very dedicated wife. Very, very dedicated. She can live, we have a nice house in Austin. She can live very comfortably in the house. I have disciples there to take care of her. Take care of her when they're gone, you know, help her buy groceries, whatever. But yet she voluntarily comes with me all over the world. It's so many places we go. So many austerities she does. This is a very good example of a dedicated wife. Prabhupada emphasized the importance of this, of having peaceful marriages. My godbrother Tejas, he was there in India in the early, early days. There's only a small handful of disciples of Prabhupada in India. So his wife Tejasini, they would have disagreements, and Tejasini would run away. And Prabhupada had to bring her back. Prabhupada was the marriage counselor, you see. And there was a problem in the marriage, he would bring them back together again. Again and again, he was bringing Tejasini back. And Prabhupada asked Tejas, "What is the difficulty?" He said, "Prabhupada, she doesn't do what I say." So Prabhupada said, if she doesn't do what you say, you should do what she says. And this way you must live peacefully, you see. So that's a good pointer for all of our household couples in this kind, you know. You do what he says, but if that doesn't work, then you should do what she said, you see. And this way. So another level of understanding this verse is how much one should be dedicated to the spiritual master. This says the chaste wife is very dedicated to her husband. The disciple is also dedicated to the spiritual master, a proper disciple, you see, will do any austerity. There's no question of something, you know, I can't do that for my spiritual master. Whatever the spiritual master wants, the disciple carries it out. We see so many, actually I've been here for almost half a century now, and the number of devotees have left is just shocking. I got initiated with two boys, three of us sat together and took initiation from Prabhupada. Those two boys left years ago. Each one of them lasted maybe 1 or 2 years, and they were maybe 3 years, and they were gone, finished, you see. So we see this difficulty. We don't know this Kali Yuga how to be dedicated. We don't know how to be dedicated. We're so much into serving our rascal minds, serving our senses. We don't know what it means to be dedicated. You see. If you want to actually realize God, you have to be a dedicated soul. You can't be flippant. Here today, gone tomorrow. You have to be willing to stick it out through thick and thin in all situations, the good, the bad, the beautiful, the ugly, happiness and distress, taking all of it, whatever comes, I must accept it. Because I've taken this vow to be dedicated to my spiritual master. No matter what happens, I will never give up that vow. This is very much unknown in this age of Kali, be dedicated to a vow. How many marriages end in divorce, even though they take the vow to have and to hold until death do us part? But how many people break that vow? It's maybe, what, 80%? I mean, it's humongous how much people... No, people don't know how to keep vows in this age. They don't know how to keep a vow. It's a very, very degraded situation now in the Kali Yuga. Honesty is the last thing, you see, that's left. But honesty now is finished. The leaders are lying politicians. So when the leaders are liars, you see. They also say lawyer means liar, professional liar. He's very good at lying. Higher than your own. I hire you, a professional liar, to lie for me. So it's an age, a very, very disturbing age. So in this Krishna consciousness movement, we want to bring back that the whole principle of being dedicated, taking the vow and sticking to it. It really pays off. It really pays off. I think about all the my god brothers who left. I pity them. By sticking with it for 48 years, that you really gain something when you stick it out for 48 years. It really, if you stay with this process, you take your initiation vows very seriously, you never deviate through all kinds of circumstances, the good, the bad, the beautiful, the ugly, the horrible, the beautiful, doesn't matter, you stick to your vow. And the magic happens, you see. Krishna wants to see how much you're dedicated to serving in all kinds of situations. So when you show Krishna you're dedicated in every situation, you'll never give up your service to Guru and Krishna in any situation. Lord Chaitanya showers special blessings upon you. As Prabhupada one time said, like torrents of rain in the monsoon season of India. So we have to be very, very dedicated to our spiritual masters, to our vows, to never give up chanting at least 16 rounds daily, following the four regular principles. When you give yourself to Krishna, Krishna gives himself to you. In fact, Krishna is very liberal. If you take one step towards Krishna, he will take 10 steps towards you. So that's got to be a very good investment. Where can you invest $1 and get $10 back? Is it? That's Krishna consciousness. Every little bit you invest, you get so much reciprocation. Well, to speak, if you totally give yourself, then the reciprocation is unlimited. Unlimited reciprocation comes from above. So, my dear Prabhus and Matajis, we have a choice. We can cheat ourselves or reward ourselves. What would you rather do? You'd rather cheat yourself or reward yourself? You can cheat yourself by continuing to be a servant of your senses and remaining stuck in the cycle of birth and death. Or you can reward yourself by saying, okay, I'm going to do it, giving myself to Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Krishna is so kind. He makes himself so readily available, so accessible. Simply by the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chanted with love, you are directly in contact with Krishna himself. Just the same as if you could go to the spiritual world and be there with Radha and Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, witnessing their pastimes happening before your very eyes. The same potency, the same presence of the Lord is there in Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So what are we doing? Running after sex life, running after money, running after power, running after fame. When these things are flippant, they're here today, they're gone tomorrow. Is it flickering? Why should we run after these things which are so flickering? Even if you get them, they're gone very soon. The intelligent thing is to pursue that which can never be taken away. Why should I go after something which will be taken away today, tomorrow, next week? Why should I spend so much energy and so much of my consciousness trying to achieve something which will be taken away from me very soon? That's not very intelligent. Rather, I should focus my mind, my senses, my intelligence, focus everything on achieving that which can never, ever, ever be taken away from me. That's why Krishna consciousness is sometimes called buddhi yoga, the yoga of the intelligence. Intelligent person they take to this pathway. The so-called intelligentsia of the material world, they're simply fools and rascals, the PhDs, the Nobel laureates, they're just fools and rascals, they're celebrated fools and rascals, that's all. Shvavidvada ushtra karai, samstitak pujushak pushu, narajata karma pato peta, jata nama gadagra jaha. Bhagavatam says, those men who are like dogs, hogs, camels and asses, praise those men who do not listen to the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, the deliverer from all evils. So when the dogs, hogs, camels and asses want to glorify someone, who will they glorify? A big dog, hog, camel and ass. So the glorified people in a society is simply a royal edition of the animals. Big dogs, big dog, big camels and asses. So if you're a follower of the dogs on the camels and ass, you're simply a little pipsqueak dog on camel and ass. So what do you want to be? You can be a human being, you can be dog, dog, camel, man. Spiritual life means becoming a human being. Otherwise, simply animal. This whole material society, what's that popular saying, going to the dogs, you see? The dogs are barking, roof, 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 get off my turf. The human beings are barking, roof, 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 where's your passport, where's your visa? The same thing. You come to a country, there's the barking dogs there, the passport officer control. Barking dogs. I remember I went to Malaysia, I put my passport down, he said, I don't like it when you put your passport on the table. Ruff, ruff. How can you put your passport on the table in that way? You must put it like this. He didn't like the way I laid the passport on the desk. He chastised me for laying my passport a little bit abruptly, laying my passport on the desk, barking at me when I entered Malaysia. So this is our modernist society, barking dogs. So it's your choice. You can remain in an animalistic consciousness of serving your senses, indriya seva, you see, or you can serve Krishna. So the intelligent person will analyze what is the result of serving my senses and what is the result of serving Krishna. And he'll decide which is best. He'll study very carefully the difference between the two. Serving your senses, you can get some instant gratification. Wow, I can eat this, I can drink that, I can have sex, wow! Instant pleasure, you see. But what is the result? Old age, disease, and death. Or, instead of indulging your senses in sense gratification, you can absorb your senses in Krishna. The wonderful name of Krishna, you can vibrate the name of Krishna with your tongue, you can hear the name Krishna with your ears, you can see the beautiful form of Krishna, Nitai Gaura Chandra, Nitai Chaitanya, you can see them. You can meditate on the spiritual master, you can meditate on the Vedic wisdom, you can meditate on the Vaishnavas, serving them with love. You can do that also with your senses and see the result is of that. The result of that is you achieve eternity, knowledge, and bliss. When you leave your present body, you don't take another material body, you end up in the spiritual world in an eternal form which never gets sick, never gets old, and never dies. So they say, oh, that's just some religious hype. It's not really true. There really is no God. It's just a bunch of, you know, hype to convince you to join their organization. That's what the atheists said. So does this atheist philosophy really hold any water? We analyze it intelligently and logically. Atheism says that everything comes out of nothing. That's the foundation of atheistic philosophy. It all comes out of nothing. So can we verify that scientifically? Let's see if we can find anything that comes out of nothing. You see? This paper tissue, well, it came out of the box, right? So, you know, this body came out of my mother's womb. We can take anything and we can see it came from something. So we have millions and trillions and billions and quadrillions of examples of things that come from things. Show me an example of one thing that came out of nothing. Newton deduced the law of gravity by seeing so many apples falling. You see? Was there any apple that went up instead of down? No, all the apples went down. So you understood the law of karma, the law of gravity. So all the apples are going down. So the same way we can understand the law of reality, that everything is coming from something, we can deduce there's an original something that everything came from. Just as Newton deduced the law of gravity, we can deduce the presence of God with the same logic. You see, he's celebrated as a great scientist. You see? So we can also deduce the existence of God As an original, there must be a source, original source for everything. So when one finds out that source, when one learns that he masters the art of connecting with that source, he is called a self-realized soul. When you can resonate with the original source of all existence, then you are on the liberated platform. Then you're fully connected with that powerhouse that's energizing everything. That's why a pure devotee is so powerful. He can deliver all the living entities of this material world back to home, back to Godhead, because he's fully connected with Krishna. So, one has a choice. You can serve your senses, you think it's a good deal, or you can get out of that quagmire of sense gratification and regain your original nature as an eternally liberated spiritual being, as one of the associates of the Supreme Personality of God and His divine pastimes. You can do one or the other. If you want to stay out of the pastimes, you want to stay in the prison of this material existence, you can do that. Love is voluntary. Some say, well, if God's so wonderful, why doesn't he just bring us back to His kingdom right now? Because we don't want to go back, that's why. Krishna's willing to take us all back into His leelas right now, you see. Trouble is, we don't want to go. We have this independence idiocy of wanting to remain separate, you see. As soon as you're free of that desire to want to remain separate from the Lord, want to enjoy separately from the Lord, as soon as you can kick that out, immediately Krishna will take you back. Immediately. A liberated soul, even in his material body, can be, and within his heart, be connected with Krishna in his original form. Liberated soul. So please take this process seriously. Don't spoil your life running after sense gratification. Realize that Krishna is the supreme authority, and if I follow his instructions, my life will become absolutely perfect. When you buy some piece of equipment from a manufacturer, you get the owner's manual that goes with it so you can learn how to properly utilize it. It's like there was one aboriginally, he got an automobile, he used it as a place to sleep. He didn't know how to drive it. He saw a nice back seat, he just used it for sleeping. He used the automobile for sleeping, that's all. He didn't realize you can get in, you can drive around, or go faster than walking or running. A place to sleep, you see. So one should utilize the owner's manual to probably get advantage of the product. So you've been awarded a human body in the owner's manual of the Vedic wisdom. Mm-hmm. So why throw away the owner's manual and speculate on how to utilize the human form like the 99.9999% of the human society is doing? Fools and rascals, idiots they are. They don't accept the owner's manual that tells how to properly utilize the human form. Therefore they're wasting it, they're spoiling it. But those who are intelligent, they take advantage of the owner's manual that comes with the form of the body, the human body. And they utilize it to reconnect themselves, you see. Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam. They utilize it to reconnect with Krishna by engaging their senses in the service of the master of the senses, you see. So it's up to us. No one's going to force us. You can do whatever you want, but those who are intelligent will take full advantage of the bona fide spiritual master. They'll take full advantage of the association of Vaishnavas. They will take full advantage of these Vedic scriptures and regain their original enlightened state of consciousness, totally beyond time and space. Those who are intelligent. So it's your choice. You can be a fool, you can be intelligent. It's up to you, what you want. If you want to be a foolish moron, you can do that. If you want to be an enlightened soul, qualitatively one with the Supreme Personality, Godhead, the source of all existence, you can do that too. You get what you want, you get what you go for. So if you're intelligent, you will go for the Krishna consciousness, Krishna bhakti. So are there any questions? I can try to answer them. Looks like there's no questions. There's one. Let's see if I can hear it. I'll try.
Some of these activities that you said are flickering. Like
some of the activities that are
flickering, like the material desires.
Wicked.
Flickering.
Oh, okay.
So, why do we feel attracted to them again and again, even after getting negative effects from them?
Why are we still attracted to flickering flickering things even after knowing about Krishna consciousness? Is that the question?
Like, why do we feel attracted to them even after getting like bad effects from them again and again?
Bad effects from what?
Getting them again and again. Bad effects, we get through the bad effects and still why we are attracted to that?
We're basically just idiots. Idiots. They have no brain. It's like we've been bitten again and again until we go back again. Less intelligent. What is it? We have cow dung brains, Papa one time. I'm not very intelligent. We need to get some intelligence by taking shelter of the bona fide spiritual master, getting initiated, strictly following the vows, avoiding all kinds of sinful activities, chanting Hare Krishna, studying Prabhupada's books regularly. Because we're not, one reason is we don't study Prabhupada's books enough. Prabhupada said, all of my disciples have to read all of my books. And that means grand disciples also. So I should be able to go around the room and say, which of Prabhupada's books are you reading right now? Yeah, we should all be spend our whole life reading Prabhupada's books again and again. Which one are you reading? Well, I'm reading the Gita, I'm reading Nectar Devotion, I'm reading teachings of Lord Chaitanya, I'm in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam right now. We should be able to go around the room and say, which book are you reading right now? Which one are you on? You see? Every devotee should be going through all the books again and again. His whole life is reading through all the books, all of Prabhupada's books again and again and again. That's, if we don't do that, then we may be foolish enough to keep going after the things which cause us distress. But one who could regularly studying Prabhupada's books by going to classes and all his own personal readings, that person, it's called Shastra Chaksus. One who sees through the eyes of the scriptures. That person will not be misled. Who's regularly, who learns, who's always seeing. It's like some of you are wearing glasses, you see. Without the glasses, things are blurry, right? So these are our glasses. Prabhupada's books are our glasses. Otherwise, everything's blurry. We're not seeing it correctly. Unless you're seeing through the eyes of these books, you have a distorted vision of reality. I'll tell you right now. You're not seeing things as they are unless you're seeing through the eyes of these books. You see? And such a person who's not seeing through the eyes of the books, he can be carried away easily by sense gratification desires. Easily carried away. So you have to read the books again and again. So I've already read all the books. Well, then read them again. Remember everything you read? Nope. Okay, then read them again. And you read them again, the whole life, again and again, looping the loop. Even if you read it 100 times through the books, that's all right. No, it's a question of reading Baba's books too much. Any other question? Any challenges? Corrections? Revolutions? Everyone satisfied, yes?
Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the nice class. You were saying that one must serve this Guru and Krishna at all costs. Like one must serve Krishna and special master and Krishna.
Go ahead, finish the question. My wife will help me understand.
So my question is like, what's the limit? how far can we go, and might be like against our own instruction, our own desire as well. So how far can we go in doing that?
This is it is emphasized that one should serve Guru and Krishna. So how far, what is the limit and how far we should go into it besides our desires?
Besides our desire?
Yes.
You should make that your only desire. I have no desire to serve Guru and Krishna. That's pure bhakti. Otherwise you're staying in material consciousness. Keeping yourself caught up. You want to go back to God and leave your body? If you have other desires, you will take birth again to fill those desires. It's only when you have one desire only, that's to please Guru and Krishna, only then you're qualified to go back to God. You see? You have to be free. If you have any material desires, you will take birth again to satisfy them. So you've got to kick them out. Weed them out. Weed those desires out of the heart. You see? No desire except to serve Krishna. Guru and Krishna, that's my only business. Everything else, kick it out with boots.
So I don't require, what is our desire besides going back home, back to
Godhead? Well, a little this, a little that, a little this, a little that. So many desires there. Little sex pleasure, a little this pleasure, a little that pleasure. Why should we remain slaves of these senses? You see? One should become Goswami, a master of the senses, not a servant of the senses. Actually, the only thing you really need to be satisfied is Krishna. A loving relationship with Krishna, that's the only thing you require to be satisfied. Nothing else is necessary. Nothing else. What does Lord Chaitanya say? I know no one but Krishna is my Lord, and he shall remain so even if he handles me roughly by his embrace or leaves me brokenhearted by not being present before me. He is my worshipful Lord unconditionally. That's the mood you have to have. That mood and only that mood will fully satisfy you. Anything else, you'll be agitated. You understand? Anything else? Yes.
Shagodev, here Prithu Maharaj's example and Archie Devi's example, that they both went to the forest and they voluntarily accepted this. So in terms of our practical life, like within ISKCON and within our spiritual practice, how we can put this in practice in current age and time, like as a husband.
That means that every minute you have to be hankering for pure devotional service. And constantly in that mood of giving your heart to Krishna. Not that you have to go to the forest, but you have to fully absorb yourself in pleasing Krishna. My dear Lord Krishna, please bless me that my every thought, my every word, my every deed, in every situation may be totally pleasing to you. That's the mood you have to cultivate. As neophytes, we're far away from that, very, very, very far away from that, but we have to understand that's where we need to be, and we have to beg for it, and there's even a special mantra you can chant to get that. You know that mantra? Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Rama. Begging, begging, begging to come to that perfection of consciousness. For I have no desire except to please my beloved Lord Krishna and my beloved Guru Maharaj. Yes. Does that help? Anything else? Yes.
You're talking that a chaste wife follows her husband.
Yes.
So at times, you know, there is conflict in terms of devotional service between husband and wife. So what should a wife do? It just gets very difficult then. So how the wife should.
Can you help me understand this?
So, I mean, Gurudev was saying a chaste wife follows her husband. So in terms of conflict between husband and wife and with regards to any devotional service, because you all come with different nature, so what should a wife do the, because she knows that maybe that's not in the best interest. So how then the wife follows her husband?
She says, there is conflict about devotional service between husband and wife. So in that regard, how the wife should be following the husband.
And you say conflict of some noise when you distract. What is, what was it?
It's a conflict.
And there's a conflict?
Husband may want to do it the other way. Wife may want to do it the other way. There is a conflict. So
how do you resolve the conflicts in a way that's Krishna conscious?
Yes. So how the
Well, you have to be sincere, basically. If you're sincerely trying to be Krishna's pure devotee, he will give you the intelligence. If your husband's wrong, you really have to take a strong position and correct him, you see. Or maybe you're wrong, he has to correct you. So how do you know which way, which is which? That's the question. Sincerity is the key. You have to be sincere about being Krishna's pure devotee, and then Krishna within your heart will enlighten you whether you should be taking the correction for him or giving the correction to him. It's your own sincerity, your own purity, you see. That's the key. Okay, next. Is that it? That's it. Okay, one more. Two more. But no movement. Okay.
It's hard enough to control your own thoughts. How can you be expected to control someone else's?
He says that
it's hard enough to control your own thoughts.
Okay.
How do you control your thoughts?
Is it that you can control someone else's when you're in a partnership?
He's saying that it's hard enough to control one's own faults.
Faults?
Yes. One's own faults. Or we can say how, whatever. But then how we can control others' faults with their own utilities?
That's like saying, how can you be a spiritual master? How to be a teacher? It's like the spiritual master has to deal with his own mind and bring it under control. Really, here's what it boils down to. To whatever extent one is actually expert at bringing his own mind under control, to that extent he'll be empowered to teach others how to do the same. If the teacher is not really qualified, can't even control his own mind and senses, he can't train anybody how to control. Just like the teachers nowadays, they're all just, you know, carried away by sense gratification. They're not qualified to teach anybody how to control their senses because they can't control their senses. Here's a very good example. Prabhupada, there's a verse in the Upadeshamrita, one who can conquer mind, words, tongue, belly, and genitals can make disciples all over the world. And it's interesting to note, Prabhupada also translated it like this. He said, one who controls mind, words, anger, tongue, belly, and genitals can make the whole world his disciples. Wow. That's an amazing way of looking at it. So it really boils down to this. To whatever extent you have mastered your own senses, to that extent you'll be empowered to teach others to do the same thing. To whatever extent you have brought your mind completely under control, your anger, your words, your tongue, your belly, and your genitals, to whatever extent you have those completely absorbed in serving Krishna in every time and every place and every situation, to whatever extent you've mastered that art, to that extent you are empowered to train others to do the same thing. So if you're only slightly able to control those things, you may have a little bit of ability to slightly help others, but not much, you see. But if you've fully mastered this art, just like another example, Prabhupada said that one who chants the holy name of the Lord without offense, by his influence, the whole world will start chanting Hare Krishna. Prabhupada said, one who can chant the holy name without totally free from all offenses, he is Jagad Guru, and under his influence, the whole world will chant Hare Krishna. So again, that's another example, you see. It depends on one's own personal qualifications. how much he has actually mastered his own senses, how much he is able to keep his mind always absorbed in pleasing Krishna in every situation. He's always thinking, yes, this is how I must think to please my beloved Krishna. This is how I must speak in this situation to please my beloved Krishna. This is how I must act in this particular situation to please my beloved Krishna. Who has mastered the art of pleasing Krishna, that person who can actually train thousands and even millions of people how to perfectly control themselves. The trouble is we're not there yet. We're still serving our senses. We get angry, we get lusty, we get greedy, we get lazy. We're still carried away by all these qualities of the Kali Yuga. That's the difficulty. We're neophyte devotees. We're not very advanced, you see. Therefore, how much influence we have. If we were pure devotees, we could attract the whole world. How many people live in Melbourne? How many, what percentage come to this temple? You see, we'd have to get a huge auditorium. It's like we were in Kuala Lumpur, like we were staying in a huge soccer stadium, you see. If we were actually pure devotees, we could fill a soccer stadium for the Bhagavatam class. You see, but we're not pure devotees. The problem is we can only attract a few people. So not pure. So it really boils down to our own purity. The more we become pure, that day will come when we can attract the whole world. It's actually predicted. Kalir dasa sahasrani matbhakta samti bhutale. It's meant in the scriptures. There will be a time in the future, within there's a 10,000 year period after Lord Chaitanya's advent, in which madbhakta stanti bhutale, the whole world will become filled up with devotees. So that day will come down the road in the future when our preachers are so pure and so powerful in their pure devotion that they will attract the whole world to join this movement. That day will come in the future. We hope it comes soon. Krishna, please let it come soon. So anything else? You had another one?
My answer that you gave me, you were saying, just make it your sincere desire to serve Krishna alone.
And that's right. Kick out all the other desires. Kick them out.
You have, like, I don't see that it's going to be happening in one lifetime. Or,
huh?
I don't see the possibility of that happening like, in one lifetime.
What's she saying?
She says she does not see the possibility of doing that.
You think Maya is more powerful than Krishna?
How can we do it? How can we kick it out?
She said, how can we kick it out?
Well, let me ask you this. Do you desire to kick that out or not? Do you desire to become free from our material desires or not? That's my first question. If you don't desire it, then there's no hope. But if you understand this is for your benefit and you want to kick out all material desires, then there's hope. Do you want to do it or not? That's the first question. If you don't want to do it, then forget it. I can't help you at all. But if you want to do it, I can train you how to do it. But do you want to do it or not? That's my question. You want to get rid of all material desires to become a pure devotee or not? Yes or no? Give me your answer right now.
No.
Yes or no?
I have to think about it.
See, you're not qualified. You're not even sure you want to become free from material desires. You're not qualified. You're not. You remain in this material existence because you're not even sure you want to be a pure devotee of Krishna. When you're convinced you want to be a pure devotee, then come to me and I'll train you how to be a pure devotee. Until then, good luck. You're going to suffer in the modes of material nature until then. You're being tossed on the waves of the modes. That's your position right now. You're being tossed on the waves of the modes of material nature because you're not even sure you want to surrender to Krishna. You're putting tilak on the nose, but you haven't put tilak in your heart yet. You see? That's your problem. You have tilak on the nose, but you don't have tilak on your heart. You need to put tilak in your heart now too. That from now on, my business is only to please my beloved Krishna, nothing else. When you're ready for that point, I'll teach you how to be the pure devotee of Krishna. Until then, I can't help you at all. I'm sorry. Anything else? Okay, all right.
So if you said before, if you make one step toward Krishna, you'll make 10 toward Krishna.
That's correct.
So on the last person's question, why doesn't that happen?
Why doesn't that happen?
It does happen. It does happen. Krishna does reciprocate more than we give to him. He is doing it right now. For each of us. He's giving us more mercy than we really deserve. It's happening to you right now. You're getting more mercy than you really deserve. It's happening to me too. I'm getting more mercy than I deserve. He does. Krishna is doing it. He's doing it for each of us right now. It's a fact. Giving us much more than we really deserve. Yeah. Yeah.
We don't have a vision to see how Krishna is reciprocating. Even if you don't come, he is reciprocating. Even if there is a non-devotee, Krishna is reciprocating. But we don't have a vision to see it. That's the problem.
Yeah.
But without vision, then you can't see.
Pardon me?
But without vision, whether it be mental,
that we have to appreciate. When we appreciate this little that comes to us, then we can have a wider vision to see what is happening.
Yeah, the more we can appreciate His mercy, the more we'll actually be aware of it.
Unfortunately, human nature doesn't seem to go that way.
Hmm? What's he saying?
Unfortunately, human nature doesn't seem to go that direction.
Yeah, that's our conditioned nature. Our human, that's right. Our human nature is the covering of our actual spiritual nature. Our present day modern human nature is materialistic. That's the thing. Human nature now is materialistic in modern day society, but the original human nature is pure, but it's covered by the modes of material nature right now. They always say human nature is fallacious, right? That's a common thing, but that's not the original human nature. That's a covered version of the human nature. The original nature of the living entity is to be a pure lover of God. That's his original nature.
There's no argument there for me on that. That's very, very difficult to attain.
It's very, very difficult to decide. Is that correct?
Well, in the troughs in one's life, you know, you're crying out to God for help. But once things like get a little bit better, you forget all the things you cried out for. And that's human nature. It's very difficult to get around that, as much as you want to.
So how to overcome the deficient human nature?
Yes.
Well, it's a matter of whether you want to or not. Just like I told her. Do you want to become perfect? Get rid of the you want to get... See, there's four defects. The four defects are... What are the four defects?
Our senses are imperfect.
The senses are imperfect.
Illusion.
There we have a tendency to be illusion.
Then we make mistakes.
We make mistakes.
And then we cheat.
And then...
We cheat.
This is human nature. The four defects of the living entity. So we have these defects as a fact of cheating nature, tendency to be illusion. These are the four defects are there of the conditioned soul. So if one wants to get, one want to remain in those in that defective position, or does one want to become free from them? If one sincerely desires to get free from those defects of the human nature, then Krishna from within will bring you to a bona fide spiritual master who will train you how to do that. It's a matter of whether you want to get free from it or not. If you're happy to remain in the defective nature, you can remain. But if you want to become liberated from the defective nature, Krishna will bring you in contact with a bona fide spiritual master who will liberate you. I know in my own life, as I described last night, I actually had a chance to meet Prabhupada. I didn't want to go because I was attached to being an illusion. But after 2 years, I finally came to the point where I really wanted to become free from my defects. Sincerely wanted to become free and pure. At that point, I was able to come and meet with Prabhupada, get initiated. But for 2 years, I was keeping, even though devotees saying, come and meet our spiritual master. No, 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 I wouldn't go. You see, because I've attached to my defects. But when you realize I want to get free of these things, you see, then Krishna will say, okay, now you can come. You have to be the general population and when they're attached to their defects, they want to give them up. They're attached to them. My dear, my beloved defects. I want to keep them, you see. So when you actually realize these things are my enemies, I got to get rid of them, then you're qualified to get trained up how to do it. Okay? Yes?
We said that if we take one step to Krishna, he will take 10 steps.
Correct.
To us. We know the size of our step, like 1 foot or 2 feet. The question is, how big are the Krishna's size of the feet? Is it as big as the bottom there?
I must be pretty cool what you said. I can make. What did he say?
He said, that if we take 1 foot of foot to a Krishna, then Krishna comes 10 foot. So how can we understand how big is Krishna's foot? 1 foot, 2 feet, 3 feet.
That depends on.
Bali Maharaj's example will be very good. Krishna asked for 3 feet, Vamandir.
Yeah.
3 steps.
And in 3 steps, the whole universe was covered.
The universe.
Yeah. That's Krishna's amazing potency. But how much are you eager to get that mercy from Krishna? That's what it really boils down to. If you're eager, he can take 1 step that covers the whole universe, depending on your eagerness to get the mercy. But I'm not sure, well, I'm not sure I want to be a pure devotee. Maybe I should remain a conditioned soul for a while so I can get a little of this enjoyment, a little of that enjoyment. I'm not sure I want to be liberated yet, you see. Now, maybe Krishna, I get a little baby step. Yes, now I must become Krishna's pure devotee. I must kick out all desires and have one desire to serve my beloved Lord with every thought, word, every deed, in all times and places and circumstances for all of eternity. Then and now he can take 1 step that covers the whole universe. So we just have to have that desire that I want to be Krishna's pure devotee. I have no other business now. I have to be convinced. That's all I need. Trouble is, we're not convinced yet. We're saying, yeah, a little sense grab, yeah. Give me a little sense grab, a little bhakti, a little sense grab, yeah. Krishna here and Maya here, yeah. Give me a nice balance of Krishna and Maya. That's our problem, we neophytes. We're not convinced that only Krishna. And the only Krishna. So we pray that we with beg Krishna and beg Prabhupada we can get off this Nevite platform and become serious about pure bhakti. So we'll stop here. We thank you very much for tuning in. Please take these teachings very seriously and now make your only desire to be the pure devotee of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.